This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for being with us today. At 6 o'clock this evening, unless the legal system intervenes, the state of Texas will execute a Wisconsin native for a set of murders committed 22 years ago. Scott Panetti is a native of Hayward, Wisconsin, but the murders he was convicted of happened in Fredericksburg, Texas.
But the scheduled execution is attracting worldwide attention because of Panetti's long, documented history of mental illness. That illness has led both conservatives and liberals to call for Panetti's sentence to be reduced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Meg Kissinger is in Texas to cover the story, and she joins us by phone. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's go all the way back to 1992 here. What was Scott Panetti convicted of doing?
Scott Panetti was convicted of killing his then-wife's parents. But I need to back up a little further still. So in 1978, Scott was in the Navy, and he was discharged. He began acting strangely and hearing voices and was discharged from the Navy and hospitalized then. And he was diagnosed then with schizophrenia. And anyway, he somehow managed to get married. He moved to Texas. He had a family, and his behavior became increasingly more bizarre. He ended up divorcing his first wife and then marrying a woman by the name of Sonia Alvarado. And anyway, it was Sonia's parents that Scott, in a delusional rage, killed. But again, not before he had been, at that point, hospitalized 14 times with that diagnosis.
And often against his will, right?
Yes. His first wife had him committed. His second wife, actually, this is a pretty chilling detail, she was very worried about her safety and the safety of their then three-year-old daughter. And she actually she got a court order against him, and she took his guns to the police station and told the police that she was afraid for her life. And they told her there was no cause for them to keep the guns, so they gave the guns back to Scott. And it was that deer hunting rifle and another gun that he used. Then she left the house. He went looking for her. He found her at her parents' house, and he had shaved his head. And he had this delusion, a fixed delusion, that he was this guy named Sarge, and Sarge went a-calling.
And the trial in which Scott Panetti was convicted of this crime was a bit unusual, to say the least.
Right. Well, there's two things. Number one, in Texas, it's a jury that decides whether somebody is competent to stand trial. And so it's put to 12 people, you know, to decide, is he sane enough to stand trial? And the first jury couldn't decide that. It was a hung jury. So the second jury decided that he was. And then came one of the more curious decisions of all, and that was the trial judge to allow Scott to defend himself. And the thinking being that if you're competent enough to stand trial, you're competent enough to represent yourself. And so at that trial, which wasn't held until 1995, 3 years after the crime, Scott acted very bizarrely. He wore a cowboy costume, you know, with a 10-gallon hat and a purple kerchief around his neck. And he babbled nonsensically during a lot of the trial. And to read the transcript, you just wonder, you know, how it was that was allowed to go on.
And if I remember correctly, he subpoenaed as witnesses everybody from the Pope to John F. Kennedy.
Right. Yeah. And then at one point he wanted to subpoena Jesus, and then he said, nope, Jesus is already here with us. So just very bizarre.
Well, and so he was sentenced to be executed well before this. Why did the execution not happen before?
Well, that made its way up and down the appeal process, and actually it was in 2004, in February of 2004, the day before he was to be executed, that a stay came. The Supreme Court agreed to hear the case ultimately, And in 2007, the case was heard, and it was considered at that time to be a landmark case. So previously, in a decision from 1986, the Supreme Court said it's cruel and unusual punishment to execute somebody who's not competent. But they didn't describe what it was competency meant. And in this 2007 decision, then in Scott Panetti's case, what they said was it wasn't enough for somebody to know if he's to be executed. They have to appreciate why. So it went back then. But that's where you would think, oh, okay, he won his case. But it wasn't as though the sentence was set aside. They sent that back to the court to tease out what they basically said was he wasn't properly evaluated for his competency. So Scott was examined in 2008, and the psychologist for the defense found that he was not competent. The experts from the state said that he was, and it was the prevailing opinion from the state examiners that the federal judge allowed, determined that Scott was indeed competent to be executed. And so that's where they are now, is now they're going from that 2008 assessment. Of course, this is the end of 2014, so it's been 6 years. And according to his lawyers, he has decompensated quite a lot since then. And I think that that's kind of, to me, as a reporter writing about issues of mental illness, I think that that's kind of where the most interesting element of all of this is that an illness like schizophrenia, those symptoms ebb and flow. And so what the state is saying is that Scott is faking his illness. And what the defense is saying is, no, he's floridly mentally ill. It comes and goes. And so while he might be able to appreciate in 1 minute, in the next minute, not so.
We're talking on Tuesday afternoon, and most recently the Texas Court of Appeals rejected a call to stop the execution. You spent this morning with Scott Panetti's lawyers. What are the possibilities between now and the scheduled execution at 6 o'clock this evening that could put a temporary or permanent hold on it?
There are several kind of lines still out there and possibilities the way that this could play out. The first is that the federal court could come back and order or issue a stay and allow his lawyers to have him reexamined for his competency now. If that doesn't happen, then they can appeal that decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court has already turned this case down back in October on other matters, on other issues, but they could find a slice in there, some narrow legal argument to accept. And so then the Supreme Court could issue a stay. And then finally, Governor Rick Perry, is before him now that on Monday, the Board of Parole and Pardons voted unanimously to deny him a stay. So now it goes to Governor Perry, and he can issue a 30-day stay of execution.
Is it possible that presidential politics could play a role in this? Rick Perry, as you say, is the governor, but he's leaving that office soon. But he is also a likely candidate for the Republican nomination.
Right. And this is actually, I think, the most fascinating element of all, is among the many people who have signed petitions and who are arguing for Scott Panetti to be spared execution is a host of evangelical Christians and also Ron Paul, so some conservative, libertarian-style politicians who believe that the federal government is so inept they can't be trusted to put forward a proper execution. So if it is possible, I guess, that Rick Perry, if he is to play to the most conservative bent of his party, could see it that way.
You have been covering this story, as you say, since the late 1990s. Where are you scheduled to be at 6 o'clock?
Well, the last thing in the world I want to see is an execution, but I did put in a request to be a media witness. They don't allow that in Texas. They only allow Texas journalists, local journalists. And so I will be hovering around his lawyer's office and waiting.
This has to be an emotional time for you.
Well, you know, it's disturbing, I'll say that. And, you know, I've interviewed Scott. I've interviewed his family at great length. I'm obviously not a psychologist. I'm a newspaper reporter. But I do believe that he is a very sick man. And I put the question to his lawyer. I said, you know, how can you, Catherine Case, who's an excellent lawyer from the Texas Defender Service, and I asked her, how can you be on a case like this and keep your sanity? And she said, well, it's like being an oncologist, you know, with a patient in end-stage cancer. You know, you have an obligation to the law to see it through. And I feel like as a journalist, my obligation is to see the story through.
Well, Meg Kissinger, thank you for sharing some of it with us.
Thank you, Mitch.
Meg Kissinger is a reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's covering the story of Hayward native Scott Panetti, who was sentenced to die by lethal injection this evening in Texas.
The Italian ambassador to the United States made a quick visit to the Milwaukee Art Museum on Monday afternoon. We'll hear from him when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.